Good morning, Living Hope. Great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You can give the Lord a hand clap. Absolutely. Absolutely. Are you prepared? You know, I know that last Sunday I spoke to you about between the straits, the dire straits. Amen. And I just want you to know that this week I went through that message again. There is so much that's happening. And this morning, I want to share with you what the Lord's put on my heart in preparation for you. In other words, I have to tell you, you're probably never going to get some kind of just fluffy message that you walk out of here just going like, oh, I just feel so great. Because God has called me to rise up the remnant. God has said, don't hold back. They need to be prepared. If they're not prepared, they will fall. If they're not prepared, they're going to become a casualty of war. If they're not prepared, they'll say, but you didn't tell me. And I'm going to tell you, there are going to be a lot in the church who say that. But not you. Not you. Amen? I've had this in my heart for a couple of weeks now. And I said, Lord, you have to let me know when is the right time. Because, you know, doing the right thing at the wrong time is still the wrong thing. We know that, right? You could do the right thing at the wrong time and not have the results that you want. And it's the same thing with God's word. I mean, yes, there'll be fruit from it, but if our hearts aren't prepared and ready to receive it, the application of it becomes ineffective. And so we went through, and if you want to go back and review, you can go back. We went through 4 weeks on forgiveness. And some of you were getting so into it, you were like, okay, I know what week 5 is going to be. But you were surprised. It was about the dire straits, between the straits. This morning is a refining message for you of application for preparation so that you'll be a mighty force for the kingdom. Okay? Yeah, it's good. It's good. The ink is still wet. So the other day, see, this starts the story now, right? I'll bring you along in the story. The other day, well, actually, the other day I was with a friend who I helped do repairs around her house. Her husband is incapacitated, had a major stroke, and so there were things that just need to be done and helped around the house. And last year, I was there in her yard to fix some gutters that were just kind of falling down in the water and stuff was just all over the place. And I just finished repairing those gutters when she said this, I need to prune that tree back. Now, it was a tree that was on the inside corner of her house. Now, you know that there are outside corners, but if you have a bump out section of your home, there's an inside corner. Well, in that inside corner was this beautiful tree that was kind of, I mean, it was, yeah, it made it hard for me to get to the gutters because it was so many branches and everything all over the place. And so when she said, I need to prune that tree back, thinking she was only going to maybe, you know, snap or cut off a few of the branches that were, you know, touching her house, I was taken back and amazed. And I think she knows that I was kind of shocked when she started hacking that tree down to the bare stalk and just a few stubs. To be honest, I thought she lost it. There was no way that that tree was ever going to survive that aggressive surgery. I mean, I was staring at this stump coming out of the ground about this high from something that was, and a couple of branches sticking out. Maybe like one or two leaves still left on it. I think she knew my concern by the look on my face and my speechlessness. It was something like this. Because I thought she was going to prune, and to me, she was hacking it down to like, why don't we just rip it out of the ground? However, when I went back a few days ago to clean those gutters for her, I was amazed at how healthy, full, and vibrant that tree was. Now, I'm the kind of person that when I see things, scripture come to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a picture person. So I'm seeing this, and the first thing that comes to my mind is Romans chapter 11, verses 17 to 24. And it says this: but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Now, there's a lot of messages on that, but do we understand that it doesn't say that bad branches were cut off? You see, when that pruning process happened, it was good branches to make room for you and I to be grafted in. Which then reminded me of John 15, 2. And it says this: every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And so as I looked at that beautiful tree, I then started to meditate on this, that every branch in me, from the first scripture I read, we are the branches, right? So that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, us, if we do not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So even if you are bearing good fruit for the kingdom, he's still going to snip off some of the rough edges. See, we think that, oh God, I'm obeying everything you say and everything's supposed to be perfect. It's going to be a pruning process that you may bear more fruit. This morning, I'd like to encourage you that this is the time of pruning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word brings life. We ask this morning that it would not be just information, but you, Holy Spirit, would pierce our heart to what is being spoken. Your word is being spoken. Let it bring revelation and transformation to our lives. And we pray that in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen, amen, and amen. So now comes the teacher part in me. Not the pastor part, but the teacher part. When a branch is pruned, the plant undergoes physiological changes that affect its growth pattern. Plants have a natural phenomenon called apical dominance, where the main central stem, apical bud, suppresses the growth of the lateral, side buds, through the production of hormones called auxins. This leads to upward growth, which limit branching. Pruning interrupts apical dominance by removing the apical bud or parts of the main stem, which decreases auxin production in that area. This reduction allows dominant literal buds to awaken and grow. As a result, pruning encourages branching and often leads to more robust and bushier plants. Wow. There are so many advantages to pruning. And in the natural, those who prune achieve several desirable outcomes. These outcomes include increased fruit or flower production, improving plant health, enhanced aesthetic appeal, and controlled size and shape. Pruning not only includes cutting away the dead branches, but also branches that are doing good. This morning, I'd like to explore the spiritual implications of pruning in our lives. I know that when I think of pruning a plant, a bush, or a tree, I believe each of us can agree that cutting away the dead branches or those that are not producing fruit makes sense. Can I get a nod from the congregation? Okay. Not only does that let me know you're in agreement, but it lets me know that you're awake as well. In the spiritual sense, I believe we all can agree that those things in our life that are not producing good fruit should also be cut away. You see, we can't take something that we see in the natural and then not be able to apply it to the spiritual, because everything that we see in the natural first happened in the spiritual realm. When I work with students, I often say, and they hear me say, good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. Yeah. Do you know that God wants the best for you? Do you know that? Do you truly believe that? God wants the best for you. He does. But sometimes we settle for good because good is good. And good is good. Didn't have to work that much. Good is good. Enough to get by. It's like the kids in school. What do I got to do to get a C? So how about an A? Ah, my mom only cares if I get C's or better. As long as I don't get anything lower than a C. And what are they already gauging? They're gauging up how little effort they can apply to get the bare minimum of blessing. God wants the best for you. But we sometimes settle for good. And how many of you know if you want good, God will give you good if that's what you want. We're okay with good. I think sometimes that's the problem. Do you know that God desires the best? Amen. I even believe that reading my scripture, I truly believe that God will and sometimes need to prune the good out of your life. I want you to hold on to that thought, because I think that when I finish, you're going to say, God, prune that good away, because I want the best. But I truly believe through Scripture that God wants to prune the good out of your life, which is sometimes hard because that's what we want to hold on to. Do you know that you have many branches in your life? Think about each branch in your life is an aspect. Maybe you're a parent. That's one of your branches. Maybe you're a caregiver. That's another branch. Your job at work. That's another branch. The people that you're committed to in your community, your neighbors, those are all branches. Your friends, those are branches. You have multiple branches in your life. Can you visualize that picture? See, I'm preaching by a picture. I just see pictures. So your life is full of branches. And I pray this morning that we are aware that those branches that are negative and destructive only lead to death, and they need to be pruned. Now, we already said we're in agreement that the things that are dead and dying and negative, we got to cut those out. We already agreed to that. So what are some of those? How about branches of addiction? Pornography, self-abuse, or other self-destructive behaviors. They all need to be cut away. Those branches in our life need to be pruned. But what about the branches in our lives that are good? Even with pruning in the natural, there are times to prune away good branches so that better branches can grow to produce the best results. I think I have this in my notes, but I don't remember, and it's coming to me now, so I think I'm just going to say it because it'll make more sense. If you have sustenance in life going to all your branches, and there are branches that have self-abuse, addictions, those kind of things, when those get cut off, the sustenance that was going into those branches, the time, the effort, everything that was going into those branches now can go into the other branches to produce better fruit. So even if something is good, if we don't prune it, it can consume the life that's in you and hold you back from excellent fruit. If you had water and you're standing over your garden and you just water everything, that's good. But what about if there's a section of your garden that's totally dead, mold-eaten, withered away? You have to get it out of there, but do you water that? Do you water the weeds when that water should be going to producing the best fruit? Some of us are taking the water in our life and we're watering the weeds when God says, I want to prune that out of you so that the water can be put in the good places so you can be blessed and receive excellent fruit. Can you picture this? Okay, all right. There are branches of doing good, but may not be the best that God has called for your life. That's what we need to prune ourselves so that we can have the best, so we can be the most fruitful God has called us to be. So I'll give you a couple of examples. So there are even things that may not be wrong in themselves, but they're not producing what God would have for your life. Even good branches might need to be pruned because they are not the best. This understanding can be applied to all areas of our life. Each of us has many branches in our lives. So let me ask you a question. What do we spend our time on? If it's not God's best for our lives, we need to be willing to prune it. Now, you're nodding your head, but I could tell you want an example. An example might be TV. Let's say that you are spending time watching a lot of television. Is television wrong in itself? Well, no, but you need to realize that it's called exactly what it is, television. So television is not necessarily wrong in itself, though there is a lot of wrong on it. I mean, but it's not all. But what about playing games on your computer? Here's another one. How about your phone and social media? Now, I'm not telling you these because I'm trying to get you upset with me. And I'm not telling you these because I think that any of these in itself is terrible. But bear with me for just a second. The point is this. Look at the time you can spend on entertainment compared to the time you're spending in God's presence and God's word. How much more fruit could there be in your life if you were spending that time in God's word? See, God's word is wisdom. God's word is discernment. God's word brings life. And yet we might sit down, and I'm not saying don't play a video game or don't watch TV or don't go on social media, but I'll tell you this. You sit down and start playing a game on your computer, you're there 2 hours, and you go, where did the time go? We don't have a problem going to the movies and sitting in the theater for 2 hours. Or watching TV and you go, oh, just one more episode of this. Oh, I got to see how the season ends. Or on your social media. And the time goes by like this. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. And then you go, oh my gosh, I'm so exhausted. I got to go to bed. What would your life be if that time was invested in the things of God that would give you wisdom and discernment, give you guidance in your life, help you to keep things in your path straight? But you see, when we talk about the word, I was just talking to Russ Ann. She was talking about somebody who's believing all this stuff that's on television, and they're not here because they believe television over the word of God. And that is the influence. So those things that keep us away from the word of God, we need to prune those. I didn't say get rid of them. I didn't say saw the branch of social media off. I didn't say, you know, throw your computer out the window. I didn't say blow up your TV. Well, I could say that one. We can spend 2 hours, 4 hours being entertained. And how many of us are spending 2 or 4 hours in God's word or in prayer or doing God's will or even praising God? If we pruned some of that time, how much more fruitful would your life be? We can apply the concept of pruning to all aspects of our life, every element of our life. What if we applied this to marriage? Do you know that marriage is God-given? If you're married before God, you're married in Him. You need to do whatever you need to do to make that marriage work. God has been giving us marriage as a covenant, and it's representing Him. Marriage represents Him because we're the bride of Christ, and He is the groomsman. And He says, till death do us part. And if we truly know him as our Lord and Savior, we're in his presence forever. Amen? But what if your marriage is not producing fruit? Then you don't cut down the marriage. You cut down the fruitless branches. The things that are wasting your time and your energy. And use that time and energy to pour it back into your marriage. What are some of those branches that you want to cut out? Cut out unfruitful arguments. Do you know there are people that argue just to argue? I know some of you are going like, I work with those people. Cut out your unfruitful ways. Cut out your unfruitful words, your unfruitful habits, unfruitful expectations. You see, when we prune those and cut those out of our marriage, all the resources that were going to that now can go to producing a healthy marriage. But we spend our time, our resources, our energy in the unfruitful things. And it produces death. We need to stop investing our time and our energy into the unfruitful things. Maybe you're not married. You may be in a relationship that's just deteriorating you. It's wearing you out. It's nibbling away at your existence, your energy. A relationship that is not bringing you to God at all. Look. See. Ask if this is the Lord's will. And if it's not, are you willing to prune it? Sometimes we have such a need to be needed that we invest ourselves in relationships we should never be in. And what ends up happening is the same thing that's happened in every relationship because we repeat the pattern. Have you ever noticed that in people's lives? You get the person who's hanging out with the wrong crowd and hanging out down at the bar and, you know, and all of a sudden they find this person and they're abusive, but I know I can change them. And the time and the energy and the effort poured into something that is not producing fruit. And when you finally break free from that, you go, oh my gosh, that was a waste of 2 years. And then what do? You go find another relationship just like that. And God is saying, prune that out of your life. Look for the best fruit. Those kind of relationships are not helping you. They're not connecting you to God. And if it's not from God, you need to be willing to make the changes. You only need to have weeds in your garden for a short period of time before it overtakes the good fruit. Have you ever noticed that? It takes weeks and months to grow and have something that produces excellent fruit. I go to bed, I wake up, the next day there's weeds in the garden. Where are those weeds coming from? Right? Have you? Ask yourself that question. Where are the weeds coming from in my life? What do I need to prune so that I can be emotionally healed? What do I need to prune so that I can have peace of mind? What do I need to prune so that I can be blessed instead of cursed? Because sometimes even the good stuff got to get pruned. Maybe it's not a relationship like that. It might even be just a business relationship or a working relationship that is not helping you in your connection with God. It may not be God, and you got to be willing to make the change. I had somebody that said to me, hey, I'll work for you, and I'll do this as a specialty. And he said to me, I'll do it for $300 cash, or I'll do it for $450 if you cut me a check. Guess how much business I've done with that gentleman? Zero. I will not compromise my integrity for someone who has none. He is not leading me to a place of righteousness in business. He is leading me to corruption and death, where something down the road is going to come up and bite me in the butt. And where did that happen? God, how did you let that happen? Now, it doesn't mean that I don't minister to that person the truth of God, but I choose not to do business. I pruned. That relationship is still there. I could call him at any time. So that relationship is there. That branch, it might be just a little nub, but it was pruned. When I knew him, it was this, and then... Maybe there's a relationship, a work relationship in your life that you need to prune. How about this one? There might be areas of ministry, ways of serving him in ministry that may need to be pruned. You have to take an honest look. Is this really producing fruit? Now, there are people that I know that are in the ministry, and they're doing a lot of good things. But what they're doing is not producing lasting fruit. So we need to assess. We need to look at that. Not good fruit, but we want God's best fruit. Doing good things in the name of the Lord, you can convince yourself, oh God, I'm just so faithful to you. And can I tell you what will be said? Depart from me, for I do not know you. But didn't we feed people? Didn't we clothe people? Didn't we do this and do that in your name? Didn't we do miracles? And the Lord says, depart from me, for I don't know you. How could that be? Let me ask you the question. Is the ministry that you're involved in and what you're doing for the Lord, is it your idea or is it his desire? Well, I don't know. Maybe you need to ask him. Is it my will or is it his will? You see, I'm not saying don't do good things for people. But I am saying that if you go years and years and years and you're not seeing the lasting fruit on your tree, you need to assess, and there may be some things in your life that you need to prune. That's all I'm saying. Well, if it's not his will and it's only producing the good fruit, am I able to cut it off? Because see, sometimes we've invested so much time in our thing that when God has a new thing, we don't want to give up the old thing because, Lord, do you know how much time I put into that? Do you know all the things that I've bought? Do you know all the things that I'm doing? Are we able to cut it off and do something else that he can and will use in directing your path? Because I know a lot of people in ministry, they're just kind of, ooh, oh, the wind's blowing this way. Ooh, Oh, the wind's blowing this way. Ooh, oh, I tripped over something. And it's not that they're not doing a good thing. Please, I'm not saying they're not doing a good thing. But is it the best thing? Is it producing the best fruit that lasts? And if it isn't, you need to spend time with the Lord and find out what needs to be pruned. If you cry out, Lord, show me what you have, He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll show you. When He's shown me things that are going to happen in my life, oh my gosh, it sometimes scares my socks off. Because I've had several prophetic words that have all come true over the last 30-something years of ministry. People that didn't know me from a hole in a wall that took me out of the crowd and said, this is what the Lord is saying to you this day. Every one of them has come true, except the last one. Now, if God is the same yesterday as He is today as He is tomorrow, do you understand why I keep going? Do you understand why you might have great ideas, but you don't veer me off course? Because I've already pruned those things out of my life. If God gives you a good idea, it's not for me, it's for you. Because I already know, I'm going to tell you, I'm excited and I am totally in awe of the last prophetic word over my life. It scares me. It's that big. But if God only started with that, it would be very hard to trust Him. He's taken me through several prophetic words, and all of them have come true. And so now, instead of pushing away from the things of God, I am willing to prune the things in my life that might even look fruitful to prepare myself for the best fruit. That's for me, because I know what it is. It's what drives me. When you spend that time with the Lord and you get rid of the stuff in your life that's holding you back, the blessings start pouring out because you're putting all of the energy and effort and focus into the things that are producing. And then you can't stop. God's purpose is to make you fruitful. That's His purpose, to be a blessing. And when you cut off the branches that are fruitless, it opens the door for the new burst of energy, new resources, and new life to flow into your God-given purposes. I don't know about you, that was a great place to say amen. You know, because like amen means I agree and have it be to me as you just said. Right? That's, yeah. So once you prune that off, use the energy, the resources, and the life that is released, because it's not going to the unfruitful things. Use those resources into the things of God and watch your discernment go up. Watch your wisdom go up. Watch when you put your hand. I'm getting Holy Ghost goosebumps all over my body. When you take what was going to the dead things in your life and you redirect it to the fruitful things in your life, watch out, because God is going to knock your socks off. You're not going to sit there and go, well, how come they always get blessed and I go to church every Sunday? You need to prune that attitude, right? I don't know where that came from. But if we're willing to prune those things that our energy and resources are going into that's not producing life, and don't just sit on it, but then redirect it and pour it into the garden that's going to produce for you, you can't outgive God. When you give up something in God, you never lose. I'll say that one more time. when you give up something in God, you never lose. It's always going to lead to blessing. And you know, it says in the Bible, it says this, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 21. It says this. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Who's the master? Jesus. Who's the vessel? You. You. What's your vessel filled up with this morning? If it's not producing fruit, cut it out. You know, sometimes we feel like we're worthless. We don't feel like we have any value. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I gave my life for you. So one of you is lying. Oh, it's not Jesus. Sorry. You always take his side. Yes, I do. That's one of those parent lines. Pruning is going to lead to those things. When you cut away the old branches, that tree starts prospering. The nutrients and the sustenance that is found in that tree are no longer going to branches that do not produce fruit. Therefore, the nutrients and the sustenance of that tree are now being redirected to the branches that are producing not only good fruit, but now the best fruit. The best fruit. I don't want good anymore in my life. I want God's best in my life. And he says, if you prune out the stuff that's sucking away the good, you can have the best. But you got to make the decision. You know, we have this self-worth. You know, it's like, oh, well, I play video games. Why? Well, because I feel like I could conquer it. Every day I play it, I get a little bit better, better, better. How about if you read God's word? Now, I'm not saying don't play a video game. I mean, but I'm just saying if you're wanting the wisdom and the discernment and you want the fruit in your life, it's not found in a man-made video game that's not teaching you biblical principles. When we prune away the things in our life that are draining us of our time, our energy, our sustenance, those resources can be redirected in our lives to produce a more vibrant and pleasing spiritual life and an example of Christ in us. I love it when somebody says to me, I don't know, what is it about you? You're different. You know why? Because they're seeing Jesus. They're not seeing the dead branches like they see everybody else have dead branches. They're seeing fruit. I don't know what that is. There's the open door. What is it about you? I don't know. Love Jesus. Maybe that's what you see. You're going to bear choice fruit, the best. And suddenly you'll have time that you didn't have before for God. Cutting out the things that are not producing in your life, you have time for the things of God. You'll have energy for God. You'll have a passion for the things of God. Like, have you ever had, like, your Bible on your desk or maybe on the kitchen table or something, and it's just like, oh, I got this going. And then you go, you walk by and you're like going, I got so much stuff I got to do. And we just leave God on the sidelines. I'm just going to give you a little clue. I don't know how this happens, but I have like 20 minutes before my classes start at school. And in those 20 minutes, I could do pretty much everything. Now, what I do the day before I leave, I make sure everything I need is all set and ready to go for the day I'm going into. So I'm not running around like a nutcase in those 20 minutes. And what do I do in those 20 minutes? I spend time with God. I read his word. And I pray, Lord, let me be a light and a positive influence in this building. I'll anoint my feet so every place I take will be mine. See, if we're not spending time, then sometimes we walk by and we feel guilty because we're not doing that. What we should be feeling guilty is spending our time in the things that's not producing good stuff. Suddenly, those things in your life that did not produce fruit will begin to produce fruit. And that comes by pruning away of the old things. It gives you new life. And it gives you a life for the things that are new. Life is exciting. I mean, to wake up every day, give my 30 seconds of praise, whether I'm standing next to my bed, whether I kneel next to my bed, or whether I just stand next to my bed. I tell you, I do that every day. And then I walk to my closet. Can I tell you, I am so organized, I know what I'm wearing for that day. If it's the summertime, I already know. If it's work, I already know. If it's school, I already know. If it's here, I already know. I already know what I'm wearing. So I don't have to sit there and think about it. But here's the difference. When I stand before my closet, I remind myself of this. Am I going to robe myself with selfishness? Or will I robe myself with his righteousness? And I think that every day. Can I just tell you, for me, that's a big attitude changer, okay? I mean, I was up praying over this word. I didn't go to bed till after 5 o'clock this morning. Because I wanted it to be what God wanted me to share with you. And I refined it, and I refined it, and I took stuff out, and I put stuff in. Because I want us to understand we have the choice to prune, to prepare, and to be blessed. If somebody's having an adulterous affair, can we talk about that stuff in church? We should. We should be talking about all this stuff. The world talks about it. If someone is having an adulterous affair, or let's say a flirtation in an extra marriage relationship, those branches will drain your love for your spouse. I don't even care if it's just like looking at somebody. It will drain you of the love that you have for your spouse. You ask Jeannie, every time we're together, no matter when she looks up, I'm staring at her. I want her to know that she's the center of my attention when we're together. So if you have this flirtation or adulterous affair, it's draining your energy and your time and your passion for the things that are not fruitful. And they're deadly. We're spending time watering the weeds, and we're wondering why our marriage is not producing the fruit that we want. Hello? Now, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but I see heads that are nodding. You've lived through this. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That energy, that time, those resources are being invested into somebody else instead of the spouse that you have. And when you do that, that relationship between you and your spouse dies. But when you cut those relationships off, what happens is that love, that passion for your spouse returns, or it can return. Sometimes we damage a plant so much it doesn't make it. You understand what I'm saying, right? And this is the same way it is with the Lord, our relationship and time with the Lord. We were created to worship and praise God. If you're not filled with God's passion, I can tell you that something is draining your passion. There's something else that's taking your time, your resources, your energy, your focus. And it doesn't have to be a lot. It could be a little drip. Last year we had a swimming pool. It had a little hole in it that you didn't even notice. It wasn't going out the side. It was just like and running down the side, running down the side. To one day we woke up in the morning and it was kind of cold a couple of days, so we didn't, you know, go in the pool. It's just like above ground, you build it and blow it up, that kind of thing. Well, all of a sudden the pool was down about 18 inches. And then you notice it, right? It's the same thing in your relationships. If you're not constantly filling it, constantly protecting it, constantly investing in it, there's going to be a leak somewhere. And what ends up happening is you're going to see it visually deplete. We were created to praise God. Your heart wants to be on fire for God. Your heart naturally wants to have a zeal for God. You are born truly to praise and to be victorious for God. That's God's will. That's His will. So if you're not, what is happening is the enemy has allowed these other branches to drain you. The branches of things of God are not receiving the sustenance they need. The good branches are not getting what it needs because we're investing the resources into the dead branches. Can I just give you a statistic that might shock you? The latest statistic says this: 68% of all Christian men are watching pornography. Now, I didn't say of all men. I'm saying 68% of all men are watching pornography. Oh, and don't worry, women have their idols as well. That's a lot of people who say they love Jesus, who are watering the weeds and wondering why their life isn't fruitful and wondering why there's strife and anguish and all of these things going on. The branches are draining you. They're sucking life out of you. They are draining you of the love of God. And these branches need to be pruned. We must understand that any sin, any idol in our lives will drain us and deprive us of producing good fruit. You see, I'm getting you ready because these next 2 weeks, there's going to be stuff that's going to happen, and I'm not sure that you are ready. Because a lot of your time, energy, and resources are going to stuff that's not producing good fruit. When these branches are pruned and removed, your life will be filled with energy and a passion of love for God and the things of God. Your praise and your worship will explode. Come by our house. We're all singing. Everybody's singing. We got music on. We're singing praise and worship songs. When you prune that stuff out of your life, your praise and your worship will explode. Your love for the Word will elevate. Your love for doing God's will be filled with a passion. Pruning the things that are not of God out of your life will increase your blessing. And you will find that all aspects of your life, you will produce abundant fruit. So let me finish with this. As with pruning a plant, it improves a plant's life. Pruning the things that are not of God out of your life will improve your health. Removing the things from your life that are not producing good fruit will reduce, if not eliminate, fear, anxiety, worry, anger, bitterness, strife, and so much more. Once these things do not have a place in your life, you will find that your health and well-being will be an example of great fruit. People don't think that Jeannie and I are in our mid-60s. She is older than me. 4 months and 11 days, but who's counting? I am. I love when those 4 months and 11 days, I can always say, hey, I married an older woman. How old are you? And she just gives me that look that says, I love you. By the way, joking like that is not producing good fruit. Just if that, you need some wisdom there. Okay. Pruning the things that are not of God out of your life, as with plants, will enhance your aesthetic appeal. You're going to look good. You're going to sound good. Well-pruned plants have balanced proportions with clear structure. Ooh, how many of us like to have some balance in our life with some clear structure? It comes by pruning. They are aesthetically appealing. When your life has been pruned, you too become aesthetically appealing. Those who are in your circles of influence will see Christ. They will see the joy and the love that goes beyond their understanding. In the midst of circumstances, in the midst of the things going on globally. And this aesthetically appealing aspect of you will not only draw them closer to you, but to the Lord that is in you. That's good. And the last thing, pruning the things that are not of God out of your life, as with plants, will help control your size and shape. Pruning prevents overgrowth and complacency. You know, if we just prune some things out of our life, we'd be more active. We'd be more engaged. We would be, do you know what I'm saying? Pruning keeps us humble. Pruning keeps us dependent upon God. Pruning allows others to see Christ in us. Get rid of those little habits, the cuss words, the addiction. I mean, when you get rid of people, man, there's something about you. I mean, like, if I was just in the world, man, I'd say, like, you got it all together. Like, there's something good happening. Absolutely. I'm pruning myself so that I can have a greater relationship with the one who gave me the breath to breathe. Amen? Pruning brings blessing and an abundance of fruit. This morning, let us embrace the idea that God is looking, and what God is looking to prune from our lives. The things that are draining us of His blessing, His provision, His power, His purpose. Maybe you're not clear about your purpose because you got some of those resources going to fruit that doesn't matter. When we embrace a pruning process and we desire it in our lives, we have clearer definition and understanding of His blessings, His provision, His power, and His purpose. Holy Spirit, birth in us the courage to say, Lord, I will put away from my life whatever you don't want in my life. Do you have the courage this morning to say that? Lord, whatever you don't want in my life, I'm going to cut it out. I'm going to prune it. And I will prune that thing off, and I am going to put my time and my focus back into you. Amen? Let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, thank you for today's teaching. Holy Spirit, we desire a breakthrough. Give us a deeper conviction as to why we need to prune from our lives the habits, the activities, and mindset that pulls us away from you. Help us to understand that our lack of time, energy, and love of the things of God are due to our fruitless branches. Lord, we desire discernment this morning to know how and what should be pruned. Bring revelation that this process of pruning will improve our life, improve our health, that pruning will enhance our aesthetic appeal as they see more of you and less of me. Through pruning, we are humble and dependent upon you, God. Prepare us to be a vessel of fruitfulness in all the areas of our life, that we may honor you with all that we say and do. In Yeshua's name, amen, amen, and amen. I hope this morning that you got something from the message, that God wants the best from you. And until we're willing to prune out the things that are dead, but as I said earlier, even potentially the things that are good, so that he can give you the best. Peter? Would you just pray out the congregation this morning? Thank you.
Father, we thank you for this message that you've given us this morning, Lord God. Help us to take it to heart and apply it in our lives. Father, your word says that, Jesus, you are the vine and we are the branches. And the Father is the one who prunes off the deadly branches in our lives. Holy Spirit, help us to identify those branches. Help us to trim them off so that we can grow good fruit, Lord God. Help us to lay down the idols in our lives and help us to keep our eyes on you. Lord Jesus, you said that we must remain in you and we must remain in the vine. So help us to remain with you so that we can grow good fruit, because you said we could do nothing apart from you. So we'll keep our eyes on you this week, Lord Jesus, and help us to apply the lessons that we've learned today. And may the grace of the Father and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit be with you throughout the week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you and shalom.